Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 19th. Joining us this morning is the General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District, Mr. Dave Hull.
Morning, Brian.
Are you having as much fun watching some of the school construction?
Yeah.
As I am?
Well, not as much as you, because I just drove by Lafayette. I don't do that much anymore.
Oh, that's
really something.
Every morning, every afternoon.
Yeah.
Same thing with the work that's going on out in front of the studios in Brookings. I mean, it's inconvenience, but it's tangible.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It just is kind of a cool thing that I don't know, you probably get to see it, but a lot of your guys underground.
Well,
so
yeah,
it's not,
but
quite
still,
the
it's
same.
it's not a study, and it's not a report, and it's not a whatever. It's actually something that's going to result in something you can see and walk on and drive on and whatever, right?
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Fun,
good stuff.
Here we go. Our quote this morning comes from Harriet Van Horn. Cooking is like love. It should be entered with great abandon or not at all.
Oh.
Gotta like that one. So, you get, boy, do you have like, notepad looks like it is worthy about the 15th time that you presented whatever the notes are on that sheet.
You know, you're really intuitive. There are parts that...
I don't feel special anymore, man.
Yeah. No, we got an event finally coming up that I'd mentioned probably a year ago, and now it's going to be a reality, so I wanted to give everybody a little heads up about it that's in the affected areas. So
good. Well, we'll probably talk about it for
maybe
a little bit more than just this show. What is it?
You have to wait, for the next segment.
Well, we got 7 minutes here, dude.
All right.
I can break into salsa discussion, but I don't think that's going to get anybody
we
too
like
excited.
We like salsa discussion.
Yeah.
Your dancing's better, though.
Yeah.
So this does, probably a year ago, I'd mentioned that the city of Eureka had got a grant from through Proposition 1. Remember that one that everybody passed in 2014 because we needed to expand our water systems and build new dams and do stuff to do that. So they got a grant for $394,000 for what the title was, the Eureka Area Watershed Stormwater Resources Plan. And so a stormwater resource plan is something that agencies that manage storm drain systems, are required to have by the state. HCSD, my organization, and the county are what we call cooperating entities with this. So the grant is the city's, county and us are our partners in this thing. We signed on because this is a great opportunity for us to collaborate with the city and the county on a watershed kind of scale. There's really two pieces that are important to HCSD in this. One of them is one of the products is going to be a stormwater database of all the storm drains within the Eureka area. Let's say it goes to Humboldt Hill and a little bit north of here and inland. All the storm drains so that we know where things are when we go dig them. This database is something that's been missing for like ever. People over the last 150 years have just put in storm drains where they need them and never really mapped them, right? So this is going to be an incredible tool to have.
And a storm drain is?
Storm drains, the thing you see goes down the gutter and then there's the grate in the street. So that's called a drop inlet. It drops into a pipe somewhere and goes. Ultimately, they all end up in the bay. So this is why probably the last 20 years, you've seen little signs or stickers or stencils on the curb that says, don't dump anything here. Don't change your oil over it because it ends up going right directly into the bay.
Well, and the signs go directly into bedrooms, too. It's kind of an interesting
corollary. They do, yeah, in the dorms and rooms. And, there's a lot of replacement on those. Because they're nice artwork, We worked hard on those. Anyway, the second piece, HCSD's part of this, is we're actually going to work on what we call smoke testing of some of our sewer systems. So this isn't the hookah lounge kind of stuff. This is actually going in and checking the integrity of our sewer systems by blowing a non-toxic smoke down into the sewer system and then seeing where it comes out.
So where should it come out?
Well, it should come out
manhole covers kind of thing.
Yeah, it should come out of those and vents that are made for that purpose and things like that. So if you see it coming out of the middle of your yard, if you see it coming out from under your house, if we see it coming out of a storm drain, which is really the focus of this, then we know we've got an issue and we need to work back into that. So So we're the reason I bring it up is we're actually getting close to kicking off this project in the middle of October, early October. I mean, we're actually going to start smoke testing some areas of the district. So want to give people a heads up where those are.
It's kind of stunning that there's no map, that there's no indication of where the pipes are, the drains are. Flabbergasting might be an easy... I mean, it seems like it would be so basic for the public works departments to know where these things are, whether it's the county in the county or the cities in the cities, that not to have that is just weird.
It does seem a little odd, but
it's like not knowing where your sidewalks are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're moving.
Yeah. Well, but remember, this is kind of an underground thing also, and it's usually storm drains usually aren't something except for right there at the street where the drop inlet is. A lot of times there isn't any real maintenance on them until something fails, which could be a long time. With our sewer and water lines, you know, we're always out there exercising valves and knowing things where things are. I think it's easy to forget kind of where they are, and the long history of people, you know, not only could be the city and the county could have inherited some of these storm drains themselves that people just put in as part of a private development or a road extension they did before the county got it or whatever. So this is going to be a great tool, a great database to have finally.
I can see that. You know, the magnitude seems pretty large also, but there's enough money in that $390 to make it happen.
Correct.
It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action all season long. Brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop with the cynical Dave Hull.
Oh, with the Pollyanna Brian.
Yeah, you betcha, baby. No, you betcha.
Kind of a role reversal here today.
Yeah.
I like it. Oh, Dave,
with the missing infrastructure documentation, okay, obviously it's going to be in a much more searchable form once it's all done.
Absolutely.
And everybody's all happy and you can figure out what's going on. Then what? So you got it. Woohoo! Okay. How is that information that developed from that $400,000 grant going to benefit anybody?
Anybody, right. Well, it does a couple of things. From our district's perspective, we don't have to accidentally run into some storm drain system when we're laying pipe or doing some repair jobs or something like this. We're gonna be having this database that we're gonna be able to search and go through. Another piece of it is, as a part of this grant, there's gonna be kind of a light condition survey also. I mean, they're not gonna go crawl through it and whatever, but they're gonna look at the connections and the depths and all this kind of good stuff. And so the county is going to be able to put together a program, a long-range program of you know, some proactive maintenance on this the storm drain system throughout the area, and the same with the city too. So it's going to be something that's going to be helpful for their maintaining the things. You know, we run across these things. It's rare, but you run across these things where the culverts failed, and then it's a big giant job to tear up the street and everything, and they could have maybe proactively done it ahead of time. Well, this is something that they're going to be able to forecast better and stay ahead of.
I got it. You were talking about culverts, and I know you guys are using the plastic pipe option.
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, geez. Notice the defense shields automatically went up like lightning on that
one. Remember, two things. We don't do storm drains, right? And the county does those.
I just see the pipes that you guys are playing with, the big green pipes.
Have you seen the ones at over here at Lafayette, right?
Well, and you guys were dropping them, with some of this. And I hadn't thought of it, so here you go, man. They did that on the old highway north of Brookings. Okay, replacing the old metal, rusted out with the...
Yeah.
Guess what happens when fire comes around those things? Yeah. They melted and the ruins went...
Interesting.
And I thought, who would have thunk it?
Yeah, exactly.
To either have a dual line, so you've got some kind of structural thickness on the outside, but the inside is non-corrosive. Well, maybe they make them available and they're just prohibitively expensive. But... I mean, things like that, the unintendeds.
Yeah, exactly.
Not plan B, but plan Z, but somewhere in between of, well, what if?
Yeah.
And play those games. When these studies are done or the information, the data is gathered, does staff have enough time to sit back and go, okay, what if, and play those scenarios out? Not to be able to do anything about it, but at least to have a plan in place so the what if happens.
I think there's enough institutional memory at some of these, at the public works groups around us that those thoughts go through. But again, these are long-term projects, long capital improvement sort of things. And so they may worm them in, but we only look out, and all three of our agencies only look out about 5 years practically. We have some longer rotations on some other projects, but 5 years, you're not going to get everything done, right? So some of these things might not get done for 20 years. But so that means you got to carry that continuity of institutional memory through. The new people have to be smart enough to say, I'm not just going to strike out and create my own name here. I'm going to look back at what happened in history and ask my predecessor what they were working on and what they looked at. Doesn't mean I have to do it, but at least get the benefit of the history.
With the documentation around infrastructure, underground infrastructure, is that history continuous? Do you have records of? Are they accessible to say, okay, the first time Cotton had five homes, this is what, boom, 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 and it was all wells, and then the first pipes got put in when Walnut was put in, and the reason for the goofy turn is, and the pipes are, and then, do you have that kind of chronological history of the service district?
Well, for the service district, yes, but it's a yes, but. We have... What the district has done on its own since 1952, we have great records of. The early stuff, of course, is all just hand drawn with pencils and in card files and stuff. And of course, we've scanned all that now and got it up to date. But the district has over time, grown, and so we inherited, basically King Salmon Fields Landing and Lower Humboldt Hill from the county.
Now, those go back into the 1800s.
And so the records are a little, they gave us all the shoeboxes and whatever that they had, but there's some things missing. Humboldt Hill was actually a private water company that we inherited that, and it was it had similar kinds of records. And so there's a lot of discovery that goes on. As we're out in the field, and that's I guess one of the things that makes it interesting. But by now, we have a real good handle on where all that stuff is. In the 70s, it was a little sketchy, but by now we know pretty much where everything is. In fact, we've replaced a lot of that original infrastructure already. Anyway,
there's got to be some really cool stories.
If
you like history or if you're a local going, oh, okay, now I click, 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 click,
yeah,
click.
Well, the Redwood Pipe, we've talked about, things like that.
Well, even Ship Ashore.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the boat that was out there. It was Ship Ashore.
It was Shipwreck.
Yeah, Shipwreck. Ship Ashore is another one fading off in history. It's 8:30.
A little bit outside my district, though.
We'll be right back. What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Dave Hall, General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Dave, with the information that you are allowing, the joint study with the City of Eureka, with what you guys have got, what we have heard on the outside for years now, not enough money.
Right.
Okay, you look at the streets in Eureka, and they did that one, I guess, about a mile paving on H Street.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. But there's another mile.
And I think they're working on Hawthorne right now.
Still to go.
Yeah.
And you got 14th. I mean, a lot of the basic maintenance stuff that we can see, there's not enough money for. Now we're talking about infrastructure we can't see. But now we know there's more. They'll find something.
Absolutely.
So is it knowledge for knowledge's sake? Because if we're not at a spot where we can maintain things currently, okay, thanks. But yeah, okay, I kind of knew that pipe was leaking already, but thanks for the... And now once you get the information, does it become actionable because state law, environmental law, federal law kicks in?
Well, you bring up an interesting point. There is always, there was this huge boom of, infrastructure expansion, over the last 60, 70 years. And then with, I want to say probably back then they had some thought about maintaining it, but it was new then. People change and things change. And
growth covered it.
Yeah. And then so growth slows down and, things get more expensive and priorities change, and all of a sudden you have all kinds of infrastructure that needs all kinds of work. Well, and I think that's where you see the increase in the gas tax and all the rest of the stuff supposed to help fund that stuff. But of course, that falls short too.
Those are nice cities, though.
Yeah, well,
rather than the legal requirements, if the land, the dump was leaking,
right?
Okay, if you don't know it, you have some responsibility. As soon as you know it. Game on.
Yeah, exactly. But if you have
streets
and potholes, you got maybe a little bit of liability, but not much. If a sewer line's leaking and causing a spill, then you're instantly got lots of liability. So that helps with the prioritization of public works projects in general, right? But you try to work so you plan ahead, so you don't try not to get into those situations. And that's exactly what this is going to help with. It's trying to make it so that we don't have spills that make it to the bay. We've head off things that could be problems down the road, so that we don't have to get into that. And it is another side piece of where I thought you were going with the question is, we get these odd pots of money from the state. The voters vote for things that somebody's pitching. Has a very narrow focus. A lot of times it's some agenda-driven something, and it's not really what a public agency necessarily needs. It's not the pot of money they really need, but it's there, and it's something else we do. It's just maybe a lower priority than what we do, but the money's there. Like this, $400,000 to do this is like you said, there's a lot of other things you could spend $400,000 on in this region that would have probably a more of an impact. But that money doesn't fund those things. It funds this stuff. And so, again, this is something that's important. And so we're off on doing this.
The planning component, I think, is as good as you can get. If there were significant issues, your definition of significant, would you already know about it? Is this going to bring one of those to light? Or is it just going to be more, we got 5 years on this, we got 10 years over here, we want to be considering this, and more of a planning document than it is an action document?
That's another good question. I think it's kind of like when we talked last month about our leak detection survey, our district-wide leak detection survey. If we had a giant leak and there was a big sinkhole somewhere, well, yeah, we'd know about it and we'd work on it. But you don't know. There can be things that are underground that you just don't see that are issues. And certainly if we've got a cross connection between a sewer and a storm drain system or just, you know, off into the bay somehow, there's a lot of brushy areas around the bay. There's a lot of, again, we storm drains we don't even know are there. This study is going to help us to identify things that maybe we just don't see.
Non-natural occurring wetlands?
Yes. Huge wetlands say, oh, look.
Yeah. Gee.
Now we know why that's there.
Yeah. But now you got protected species living in there.
That's right.
Let's just make it real fun, huh? KINS in the coastal zone. KINS, News and Information Times 841. We'll be.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Dave, so with the studies that will be going on, what kind of timeline are you looking at before you have the information that you can then start to review and then put into action?
Well, the smoke testing is going to be at three locations in our district. So two of them are in the Myrtletown area. One of them is by Wellington Street. The other one is by Maple Lane, and those areas around there. These are areas on kind of the Eureka Slough side of Myrtletown. That's why we want to smoke test them to make sure those are good, because that's close to the edge of the bay. The other one is all of King Salmon. We're going to do all of King Salmon again. We haven't done King Salmon for close to 20 years. And being right there when you get those big king tides and things, it's real important that we keep our sewer system pretty tightened up. Now, all the residents in all three of those areas, there's around 400 of them, they're all getting a letter. We've sent a letter out to all of them saying this is what's coming up and here's the dates. The Myrtletown ones are going to be between October 3rd and 5th, and the King Salmon's going to be between October 10th and 12th. So in those times, there's going to be a lot of activity around. What, as I mentioned in the first segment, we have a machine that actually sits over some manholes. We strategically place it so we make sure that we, you know, get smoke going where we need it to go, that blows smoke into these manholes and smoke will come out. The smoke is white, so it looks a little bit like fire. It's got a different smell to it. Again, it's non-toxic smoke, but a lot of people will, why we spend the time doing the noticing and the outreach is because a lot of people will see that and think, oh my gosh, my house is on fire, or somebody's next door neighbor's house is on fire, or something like that. And so,
yeah, you don't want a bunch of 911 calls.
Exactly. And of course, we let the fire department know that that's what we're doing and everything, so that they know when they get the call from those areas that's what we're doing. One of the things that people can do if they have some sinks or toilets or something that they hardly ever use and maybe have dried up, you know, because they haven't used them for a long time, is to put some water into them so that the trap, the little U-shaped thing under the sink, that's full of water, because that way the smoke won't come back up through that and in up through the sink and into the house. That's what the trap's made for, is for odors and whatnot and the sewer gases. So we want to make sure that they put some water in those so that we don't get some false things going with that. There'll be people wandering around the streets with clipboards looking at trying to see where the smoke is and doing some markings. Now, if we find smoke on our system, then as we were mentioning earlier, we will put it on our priority list to go, you know, figure out what it is and try to do the repairs on it. If it happens to be on the resident side or the customer side of the sewer system, the smoke's coming out of, then we're going to give them a basically a fix it letter. So because you know they don't want sewage either in their yard or under their house or even the sewer gas is coming up through their house either. It's a public health issue. So we through our code we'll give them a fix it letter and follow up with them on that.
Oh, I bet you just can't wait to sign those letters.
Hopefully we don't find any.
There right? you go.
That's 100%. The goal. That's the goal. Yeah.
Now, is the city going to be doing comparable? Or is this just something that's in your
I think HCSD is the only one smoke testing. I could be wrong, but I think it's just our district that's doing the smoke testing as part of this grant. The city does smoke testing on their own at various other times of the year. So
so you really are blowing smoke.
Exactly.
I knew that about you.
In 2 weeks, there'll be proof. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gee. There's so many cheap comments. We just are rearing our... No, we'll just knock them down and say goodbye.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, Dave.
Thanks, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.